Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Pesachim and Memches. We're actually 13 lines from the top of the Amud. And the Gemara now will take us back to the Mishnah, which said, Keitzad Ma'afrishin Chala B'tuma B'yamtuf. Should a person decide to bake some bread on Yamtuf of Pesach, but so happens that his dough is tameh. So how's he meant to go about being mafresh, the challah portion, from his dough? Challah, which is tameh, cannot be eaten. And you can't go ahead and burn challah tameh on Yamtuf. I should explain, not meant to dispose of truma and kachem and challah on Yamtuf. Leave it till nighttime, that dough will turn into chametz. So what is he meant to do? We want to focus on two sheets, Reb Lezer and Reb Yishua. Reb Lezer says, just bake the entire batch. All your loaves, put it in the oven, bake it, and then separate your challah chelek. Now there's no concern of chametz, it's already baked. Whereas Reb Yishua says, separate a piece of dough, and then bake the rest. As the Gemara will explain, there are really two elements in the machlekes. Number one, Reb Lezer seems to be concerned about this dough, this challah portion, turning into chametz. Apparently he holds that the owner carries responsibility even for the challah portion. It's still considered somewhat his property. Therefore, you can't allow it to become chametz. Rather, he says, bake the batch first. Everything, even the with the challah portion, the potential challah portion included, bake everything. This way you'll avoid the chametz concern, and then be mafresh your challah. Apparently, Reb Lezer holds you can go ahead and bake even the potential challah portion, and that's because, as the Gemara will explain, theoretically, every single loaf is considered edible, roi to the owner, because he doesn't have to go ahead and be mafresh a full loaf as challah, even though chances are he's going to do that. But theoretically, he can just go ahead and slice off a bit, a little slice of every loaf, and use that, combine that as the challah portion. So every loaf is really chazi, is roi l'achila. Some part of it, most part of it. And that allows it to be baked, even though a small portion won't. Will have to be considered challah and have to be burnt. Not roi on yom tov l'achila. But since the rest of the loaf would be roi, that is a reason to allow baking it, as Tosis explained in Daf Mem Vav. So two things. Reb Lezer is concerned about the dough becoming chametz, because it's still considered somewhat his property. So don't do that. Don't separate the challah and leave it alone. Bake the batch first, and then separate your challah. So he's concerned about chametz, and he allows baking. Reb Yishua goes in the other direction. He's not concerned about chametz. As he said in the Mishnah, he carries no responsibility for this chametz. Once he separated the isa, the challah chelek from the isa, let it become chametz. It's not mine. I have no achrayis over it. And he also wouldn't allow baking the entire batch, because in that batch is contained something which won't be edible. Baking something inedible on Yom Tov is a malacha. So we have a machlekes between Reb Lezer and Yishua pertaining to two separate elements. The Gemara will analyze the machlekes. Says the Gemara 13 lines from the top of the Amud. Amar Rami Bar Chama, Hod Rav Chizda v'Rabba. We have another machlekes. Discussed this yesterday. Suppose we have Yom Tov, which falls out on an Erev Shabbos. Gemara tells us, one can go ahead, even without an Erev Tavshilin, can go ahead and cook, bake on Yom Tov for the sake of Shabbos, even though he knows full and well, he doesn't need it for today. He's full. He's after a big Suda. He doesn't need any more food. Why is it mutter? Rav Chizda says, because Shabbos and Yom Tov are considered one and the same entity, one and the same Kedusha. You can prepare on one for the sake of the other. Rabbi says, hoyel. Since what? Perhaps he'll encounter some surprise guests, which will arrive in his home, and I'll have to feed them. So anything cooked and baked on Yom Tov has potential use, and is not considered a malacha. It's considered oichel nefesh. Rav Chizda disagrees with this concept of hoyel. We don't say since. Does he need it? No, it's a malacha. The reason why it's not a malacha is because of the elder svara that Shabbos and Yom Tov can prepare for each other. So Rami Bar Chama suggests like this. He says that this machlokes between Rav Chizda who does not apply hoyel by the yomtiv, v'rab who applies hoyel, hadar of chizav rab, machlekes, the blazer b'shoi, is related to the machlekes or blazer, who says bake your batch, and then separate your challah. Apparently, he's not concerned with the fact that somewhere in there is found some material that's not going to be eaten. Why? Because he says oil. You don't have to give him a whole loaf. You can take a piece off every loaf. So every loaf is edible. Machlekes or blazer bishui, as opposed to bishui, says, no, we don't apply oil. Typically, you give a full loaf to the kayin. So one of these loaves are not roi lachila. How could you bake the entire batch? So Rav Chamah is relating the two machlekes to each other. Hadar Rav Chizav Rav of whether or not we say hoyel is machlekes Rav Blazer Rishoy, whether or not we say hoyel. The Rav Blazer Savar Amrin and hoyel, Rishoy Savar Amrin and hoyel. Amar Papa, how do you know? Perhaps the two things are unrelated. Perhaps Rav Blazer would only allow hoyel to be applied in a limited fashion in his case. Why? Because over there, at the point of entry, when that dough is entering the oven, is it mutter? Sure. Right now it's completely mutter. He hasn't yet designated his challah. As opposed to the yomtiv situation, where he knows it's not suitable for him, he doesn't need it. Currently, it's not roi for him. So perhaps that's already a stretch, taking it a bit far. That's a hoyle in a totally new realm. How would you know to compare the two things? Amar Papa, Vadilma, perhaps you could say like this, Adkan lakamar blazer hosam. It's only over there, by baking that dough, does a blazer say, you do it, you bake it, damrin and hoyel. That's only because Ela de be'idna, de ka'ayla de tanura. At the very moment that he's putting the dough in the oven, kol chada v'chada chazi lay the day, each one, every single loaf, is roi for him, as we explained that, perhaps we'll just take a bit of every loaf and give it to the kohen. So every single loaf has heter. Aval hachad la'urchen hu dechazi. But over here on Yontif, he no longer needs his food. He's after a suda. It's not right to him. La'urchen hu dechazi. Perhaps for some unexpected guess, it's right. L'dedei lechazi, but not for him. Eima hachenami. D'le'amrin ha'yol. Perhaps over here he wouldn't say ha'yol. It's a bit of a stretch to say ha'yol in this case. It's taking ha'yol a step further. Perhaps Rav Blazer would not agree to say Hoyel by Yom Tov as Rabba does. Omer of Shisha, Vedar Vidi. The same thing could be said according to Rabbi Shua. You can't compare Rabbi Shua there to Rabbi Shua here. Vedim Aloy, perhaps the two machlekes are unrelated. Ad kan leka Omer Rabbi Shua Hasam. Perhaps it's only over there. The Rabbi Shua says, don't go ahead and bake the entire batch. Delay Amin in Hoyel. He holds you don't say Hoyel there. Because there's one loaf that's not chazi, it's not roi. Neither to him nor to his guests. As Rashi explains, chances are, typically, you give a full loaf away as challah. You don't go ahead and slice pieces from this and from that. So bottom line is, one loaf is unsuitable. You're baking something which is shelo l'tzorich, not l'tzorich echel nefesh, on Yom Tov. Therefore, you can't do that. When it comes to preparing food on Yom Tov, where it's at least roi for urchin, it's edible. Perhaps some urchin will arrive and they'll have it. Perhaps over here you can say hoyel. So only over there that he doesn't apply hoyel. But in this case, there's a reason to apply hoyel. So you can't go ahead and compare the two things. Rumi Bachama linked the two machlekes, but the Gemara responded, perhaps there's a difference. Hoyel and Yom Tov could perhaps be worse, perhaps be better than there. Therefore, you can't relate the two things. Amru Rabbanon, Kamei Rabbi Yirmiyah v'Rabbi Zeira. The Rabbanon presented this approach of Rami Bacham, who explained that Rabbi Lezer holds of Hoyel, therefore allows baking the batch. Rabbi Shua does not hold of Hoyel. He presented that pshat. Kamei Rabbi Yirmiyah Rabbi Zera, in front of Rabbi Yirmiyah Rabbi Zera, that's the pshat machlekes. Rabbi Yirmiyah Kibla, he accepted it. Rabbi Zera like Kibla, he didn't agree. Amalei Rabbi Yirmiyah Rabbi Zera. Milsa de Kashilan. This matter, which was so difficult for us, this sugi, which was so difficult to understand, the Kashilan v'asik kamashli, this difficulty has been running for years. But my pligi, Rav Lezer Rishua. What is the machloikis between Rav Lezer and Rishua? As Rashi explains, I mentioned earlier, there are two separate elements contained in the machloikis. Rav Lezer is concerned about chametz. Why? As Rashi explains, we discussed this earlier, he holds that the fact that I have some financial gain, financial interest in this challah, Toivas Hanah, Yisrael can accept a token payment from another Yisrael to direct his matnis kahuna, his challah, to a specific kohen. So he can have some Hanah from it. Rav Lezer holds, that's considered a financial interest, considered like a partial ownership. It's mine. It's like it's mine. So this chelik, chala chelik, is considered like his property, like his assets, and therefore he has to be concerned about becoming chametz. That's number one. Number two, Rav Lezer says, go ahead and bake it to avoid chametz. And you can bake it. We say, well, perhaps every bread, every loaf will be eaten by the person. He's only going to slice off a piece. So you apply chol. So number one, he's concerned about the chametz. Number two, he allows baking. Rabbi Shua disagrees on both accounts. He says, I'm not concerned about the chametz. Toivas Hanah, that minor benefit, that's not called mammon. It's a residual Hanah. That's not a direct bailus on that piece of dough. Therefore, let it become chametz. And he also doesn't allow baking. It doesn't apply her. Now, Yirmiyahu was expressing his frustration. He says, many years we couldn't understand because we were not aware of this ahoyal aspect. We knew that Rav Lezer is concerned about chametz because he holds it's his mammon. Toivas Hanah mammon. Rav Shua is not concerned. He holds Toivas Hanah ain't a mammon. But how does that explain why Rav Lezer allows baking? You're baking something which is not going to be eaten. It's aser to eat the challah portion within this batch. How can you bake the entire batch? So sure, there's a concern about chametz, but rather be passive and be over the balyor balyumatz and do a masa iser of lesasa malach, doing a malach al yantav. How could you bake something which is not for the sake of Eichel Nefesh? So we didn't know, but my plea of Lezer was sure. What was the pshat of Lezer? Ha'ashtam ruah mishmei, the Gavar Rabbah. Now that it was presented, this pshat of Hoyl was presented in the name of a great person. For learning a Kabbalah, we shouldn't accept it. It makes so much sense. It puts the matter at rest. Omer Leh, Sir Zeri responded, Hei Chai Kabbalah, how can I accept it? The Tanina. Well, we have a price. Omer Leh, Rishua turned to Lezer. Lidvarecha. According to you, go bake the batch. How can you bake the entire batch which has chal inside, which is also, which is tummy, which is a malacha? Mishasakli. Rav Lezer remained silent. He didn't respond. V'isa. If this approach is correct, he has a good argument. Hoyel. If this is a convincing and clear argument, v'isa. Leimale. He should have responded to Rav Yishua. Tamed adim shem hoyel. My time is hoyle. The fact that he didn't respond indicates they didn't have that clear-cut rebuttal. They didn't have something to respond in a way that would convince Rabbi Yeshua. So apparently it's not hoyle that he's basing his sheet on. Amar leis Rabbi Yirmiyahu responded to Rabbi Zeira. What tamech na koin to you? Had the tanin of a braisa. Let's say look at the braisa. Amar leis Rabbi Lezer turned to Rabbi Yeshua. Lidvarech. According to you, they just separate the Isa. Put the dough portion aside. Lidvarecha, hari oiver, mishum bal yirah bal yimatze. What are you going to do about the bal yirah bal yimatze? Chametz issue. Vishasakli, I'm sure, didn't respond. Hachinami de lehadali. Here as well, you're going to say, he didn't respond, he didn't have what to say. Hakama hadli masnisen. We do find that he responded pretty clearly in our Mishnah. Rabbi Shor responded, loy zeo chametz shemasarn olav mishum bal yirah bal yimatze. It's not the type of chametz that a person is warned on it on account of Bal Yirah Yimatzeh. It's not his. So you see, he had a pretty strong response to Rav Lezer's argument. Elo shasak le b'braisa. Although he was silent in the braisa. Mahad le masnisen. He responded in the Mishnah. Hachanami, here as well, when it comes to Rav Yishua challenging Rav Lezer, how could he bake something which is inedible? Emor, we can say, shasak le masnisen. Although he didn't respond in the braisa. Perhaps he responded to him in a different price elsewhere. And yeah, Rav Lezer perhaps does base his view on this concept of hoil, which allows baking the entire batch based on the svar of hoil that perhaps all those loaves will be roi lachil. Tanya, Rabbi Omer halacha Rabbi Lezer, that we go ahead and we bake it before we mafresh the challah. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer halacha b'meseira, that's another shita, that you separate the challah portion when it's in dough state, but then you place it in cold water to prevent it from becoming chametz. So in conclusion, regarding hafrashas challah b'tumah on Pesach, we have two shitas. Rabbi Lezer says, first bake it and then be mafresh. Rabbi Shua says, be mafresh when it's still in dough state. And the Gemara concluded, at least the question of Yirmiyah and Rabbi Bachama, that we have two separate points of machlekes. Number one, regarding ownership. So according to Rabbi Lezer, Toivas Hano is Mamon, so this Chalachelik is considered his. So he has to avoid Chimatz on that portion. And he also holds a Hoyle. That's why he allows it to be baked together with the entire batch. Yeshua disagrees. He says, Teva Sana is not Mammon. The fact that the Yisrael can accept some sort of payment to direct his chal to a certain coin, that's not considered really ownership. That's not considered his. We're not concerned about this piece of dough becoming chametz. So just separate it in its dough form, leave it alone, and you can't. You can't go ahead. Even if you want to, you can't go ahead and bake the entire batch. Because we don't say hoyle. And as Rashi explained, chances are one of those loaves will be given to the kain. So it's somewhere in this batch, somewhere in this oven, is something which is not really achila. And then it tells a malacha on Yom Tov. Continues the Gemara. Now the Gemara is going to discuss the maximum size allowed for a Issa on Yom Tov Pesach. We know that in order to prevent chametz from developing, the dough needs to be engaged with at all times, it needs to be active. But if it's sitting idle, it can become chametz. Now, the larger the dough, the more difficult it is to keep on engaging with it and being occupied with it and preventing chametz. So what is the maximum size allowance to keep it safe and secure from chametz? V'kama shir Issa. Depends what you're using. Bechitin, kabayin. If it's wheat flour, 2 kaf. When it comes to barley, you can use even 3 kaf. According to him, barley has a more difficult time becoming chametz. It resists chametz more than chitin. So chitin needs to be a small size. Though, whereas oiren could be even larger, Chitim is 2 kav, and Serum is 3 kav. Rab Nosson Omer, Mishum Rab Elazar, Chiluf Advarim, just all the way around, just the opposite. Because according to him, Chitim, due to their high quality, they resist Chimutz longer than Serum. Says the Gemara, is that so that according to Rabbi Shmuel, Bnoi, Shem Lechem Breker, Chitim are 2 kav, and Serum are 3? Vatanya, Rabbi Shmuel, Bnoi, Shem Lechem Breker Omer, Bechitim Shloishes Kav, by Chitim you have up to 3 kav, by barley you have 4. Says the Gemara, it depends on the quality. Because the higher the quality, the more it resists fermentation. So this most recent brisa was discussing high quality produce. If you have high quality chitim, you can make a dough up to 3 kav in size. In the first version, he was speaking about low grade wheat flour, in which case you have to lessen the size of the Issa. You have up until 2. So low grade is 2, high grade is 3. When it comes to barley, it's 3 and 4. Lakash, habichas sichta. In the first brisa, it was speaking about poor quality grain. Habmal yosa. In the second brisa, it was speaking about high quality grain. Amra papa shmamino. We can see from here that an interesting thing. The disparity, the difference between low and high quality when it comes to chitim, is the gap is greater than when it comes to se'erim, which is interesting because chitim are meant to be of higher quality to begin with. Apparently, it could be high in quality, but when it's bad, it's really bad. Grein chiti chasichta, mi chitim al yasa. The difference between the chiti chasichta low quality and the chitim al yasa is greater meaning the chitim chasichta are more inferior with respect to the chitim al yosa, more than tvei more midigrei and sari chasichta misari mal yosa. It's more than the gap, the inferiority of the sari chasichta of the low grade sarim with respect to the sari mal yosa, the high grade. Why? Because by chitim, the difference is high grade we allow 3 kav and low grade 2 kav. So there's only a third, there's even a third difference, right? From 3 to 2. We consider the low grade to be a third less in quality than the high grade. When it comes to Sa'irim, it's only a quarter difference. It's 4 and 3. So the gap isn't so great by Sa'irim as by Chit. Dilo Hasam Tilsa, right? Because over there by Chitim, there's a gap of a third. Vacharivah, over here by Sa'irim, it's only a quarter. Amarav. Kaba mulugna lepischa. The maximum allowance for a dough on Pesach equals a kav mulugna. Rashi says it's a certain place. The kav of this certain place. That's the measure, maximum measure of the Issa on Pesach. Kav mulugna lepischa b'chein l'chala. Same thing applies to shir chala. That if you have a dough of this size, it's chayv and chala. Says the Gemara, is that the case? Vatnan. That doesn't seem to be the shir, just a kav. Kav is 4 lug. Mishnah says, Chamesh es rubam kemach void, chayav b'chala. 5 quarters of a kav, and a bit more, is a shir for chayav chala, not a kav. Hachikama. This is what Rav meant to say. Kavam lugnoi, nami ahai shiurkoi. That specific kav, that mulugnoi kav, was actually larger than a typical kav, and it did contain the shir chala, which was 5 and a bit quarters. A new standard kav. Om Rav Yosef, Haninashi didan. Our women, nog lemefa. They're machmer when it comes to Pesach. Nog lemefa. They're accustomed to baking small-sized doughs. Kfiza, kfiza lepischa. When it comes to baking on Pesach, they bake doughs which are merely a kpiza inside. Rashi says kpiza is 3 lug. So don't allow yourself to bake a properly sized loaf, a properly sized batch. They want to be machmer to keep it small and safe. Amar Abaye. So Abaye responded, my daitach, so what are you thinking? A chumra? No, it's a chumra as leikulahu. This chumra generates a kula, it's not really a chumra. Why? Because although when it comes to the Pesach concern, they're addressing it, they're overdressing it properly. But when it comes to something else, it's going to be a kula. They call mafkala mechala because they're exempting it from chala. They're baking batches which are smaller than the shir chala. Omar Leis, Rav Yosef responded, no, they're machmer all the way. Don't worry about it. The avdan kerb of Lezer. They follow in accordance with Rav Lezer's instructions. This non, Rav Lezer Omer, he has a chiddush. Haroida, a person removes his baked bread from the oven, it's called Radias Apas, Venoisin Lasal, and places his small-sized loaves together in a basket. So let's say each batch was less than a shir chala, but then he combined it together in a basket. Hasal mitzar from the chala. The sal combines them together. They become joined, and they complete each other. So if in totality you have a shir chala in this basket, it's chayev. V'amar vidam ha'shmo, lachar b'lazer. So the Noshim, although initially they bake small-sized batches of dough because they want to avoid chimas, they want to keep it active and engaged with, but at the end of the day, they join and combine everything together. This way they have a chiv chal. Omar lei, so Abai responded, but haven't we learned pshat in that? Omar b'shom alevi, lo yishonu, ela kikrish above. This only applies to the loaves, the wide loaves above al shenoshchei zumizu, which bite from each other, as she explains there. Placed in the oven next to each other, they spread, they connect, and they connect to the point that if you separate one from the other, a portion of the other one gets stuck to this one. That's called noishchei, it bites from each other. And that creates that connection. They're considered one and the same batch. Aval ka'achan loy. But we have these small-sized, narrow loaves, which, although perhaps touch, but don't create that connection, that bite from each other. They can't be joined together to generate a chiv of chala. Ha'itmar Allah, says the Gemara, Amar Lei, Ha'itmar Allah. I responded, no. But we learned on that, Amram Chanina, he disagrees. Afilu ka'achem, even when it comes to the small sized rolls, even when there's no biting, there's no physical connection between one loaf and the other, still in all, they are mitztaref. If you place them in a basket, and they mitztaref together to generate a chivcha. Boy Rabbi Yirmiyah. So according to Blazer, they all need to be placed in the same basket. What about tavla? If you place them on a tray, she'ein lo lav zevazin, which doesn't have a rim around it, so it's a flat tray. Ma, what is halacha there? Toich kli ba'inan v'leka. Do they have to be within the containment of the kli? In this case, you don't have it. You don't have a rim around. Oydilma aver kli ba'inan v'yiku. Or perhaps even the airspace of a kli is enough. Teiku. We leave it teiku. Continuing on this topic of tziruf l'chala, we have a three-way machlokes. Tanya blezo aimer hasal mitzarfen, as we just said. If one places all his loaves in one basket, and in total you get to a shear of challah, you have to be mafresh challah. The sal is mitzarf. Rabbi Shoimer, tana mitzarf. The oven is mitzarf. And some explain, some mafreshim explain, dafka, specifically the oven is mitzarf, not the sal. So if they're in separate ovens, even if you place them together in a basket, it won't be mitzarf. Rabbi Shimon Mulel Oimer, kikri shabaval shenoish chazum zum mitzarfes. These wide loaves, neishach, and bite each other, and connect each other, and you have one mass, and yeah, and then they start to each other to generate challah. The first thing to explain, it's based on how you learn the pasuk. The pasuk says, lechem ha'aretz. Lechem ha'aretz is the item on which you have to be mafresh challah. So I'm sure it would hold. It depends on when it becomes lechem. That's when you determine and establish what shear it is. So in the oven, that's when it's becoming lechem. So we take a look. What's going on there? There's a shear in the oven. Fine. According to Blazer, even the sal can do that. Because the process is now being completed. You're taking it from the oven into the sal. Now it's becoming edible and it's completion of the process. That's also called part of the lechem making process. And even if the only mitzurif in the sal, that's enough. According to Lashita, Rav Shimon Gamliel, you have to have some sort of physical connection. You have to actually bite each other and then they're considered one and the same batch. Continues the Mishnah. Rav Gamliel Eimer, what is the largest number of people that can join together and use the same oven on Pesach without creating a chashash of chametz on their respective doughs? Sholish noshim loshes kachas. Three women can begin kneading their dough at the same time, va'ifois betanar echad, and then go ahead and use the same oven, zu achazu, one after the other, even though inevitably there's going to be some waiting time, because as Rashi explains, this oven can only contain one batch at a time, but this short amount of waiting time doesn't pose any chametz concern. So we set the limit at three. No, you can't wait around. Rather, you have to keep on engaging your dough constantly to keep it from becoming chametz. Rather, the three women should conduct themselves as follows. They should create a rotating system, some sort of conveyor belt system. Shalosh noshim oiskos bebotze kachas. They have to be oisik, they have to be occupied with their dough at once. What does that mean? Achas loshim. We have three noshim. So the first isha begins kneading her dough. So there are three stages in the baking process. You have lisha, kneading. You have aricha, or we're going to say oireches, where she goes ahead and she forms and shapes her dough. And we have afia, baking. So now we have three nashim here. Say the rabbanon, they shouldn't all begin at once, because then they're going to have to wait for each other while they wait to use the oven. Rather, isha number one begins phase number one, lisha, while the other two are on standby. Achas losha, v'achas erechas, v'achas oifa. So, isha number one is kneading, and the other two are waiting. Then, isha number one proceeds to phase two. She begins erechas, she begins to form her dough. At that point, the second Isha enters phase one. She begins her Lisha, which is stage one, while the third Isha waits by the sidelines. Then, when Isha number one proceeds to Afia, so the second Isha proceeds to Aricha, the third Isha begins her process of Lisha. So Achas Lasha, this is the third Isha who has just begun Lisha, she's doing kneading, she's the Lasha, V'achas Erechas, while the Isha before her, who preceded her, has already arrived at Erechas, the second stage, V'achas Oifa, that was the first Isha, already arrived at the final stage of Afir. This way everybody is busy, occupied, engaged in their dough, there's no idle waiting time. Rabbi Akiva Omer, he turns to Rav Gamliel and he says, oh, you set the formula at three. Three Nashim can go ahead and start at the same time. You don't have to wait for each other. How can you even establish any formula when it comes to people and ovens and firewood? There's so many different scenarios and circumstances. How can you set a rule? How do you know how long it's going to take? Ruki Weimer, Loikal Nashim, not all women. Loikal Eitz, not all firewood. Loikal Tanur, not all ovens. Shavim are equal. Some people work faster, some ovens are cooler, some firewood is not so effective, it's moist. How can you create a established rule? Say, well, this amount of people can work together. Zaklal concludes the Mishnah, but this is the general rule. Tafach, if the Isha sees that the dough is tafach, it was bloated, it began to swell, which is a sign of chimutz, tiltosh v'tzaynish, quickly douse it with cold water to keep it from becoming chametz. Let's see Rashi here. So at the wide lines, we drop down to the fourth line. Fourth wide line, Masnis. So first shita was Rabbi Gamliel. And Gamliel, I miss Sholish Noshim Loshes Kachas. Kol Achas Mlei Atana, each one can fill the Atana with her batch. Ben Kan Chimutz. Afal Bisha Achas Mam Tenes, Asher Yefa Shtayim. Even though Isha number two is waiting. Actually, Isha number three is waiting for two. So it's really a longer wait. No, we can't be so makel. She loshes ka'achas. They begin all together as one. You have to arrange it in a system where each Isha will be engaged and occupied with her dough without leaving it idle. Achas losha. So Isha number three, this is. She has just begun to knead. She's a losha. When her friend that preceded her has already arrived at the more advanced stage, at the Mikatefes, forming her dough. And the third one, meaning the one that began the process, she began kneading first, she's already holding out a fear. The Gemara will spell out the way the rotation works. But this is the concept. You create an organized system, in which case they don't all begin at the same time. One begins while the other one waits, and the other one proceeds, now the other one begins, etc. This way, everybody's busy with their dough. Here we keep a challenge of Gamliel. He says, Loikal Anoshim. Not everybody is equal and the same. Yeish Aslonis, Machmitzes, Mishikokach. You have some Noshim which are laid back, take their time, and it's going to create chametz if you have to wait for them. Yeish Tanor Sheinacham, Meir, you have an oven doesn't really heat up quickly, and it's not so effective, and it's baking, it takes time. Yeish Eitzim Sheinu Bar Meir, you have wood which is a bit moist and doesn't really catch fire too quickly, so perhaps it's going to take a long time. How can you go ahead and say three Nashim can wait for each other? Concludes the Mishnah, Zakal Tafach HaBatzik Biyada, Shiroya Shiroya Selet Payach. She sees that the dough in her hand is about to bloat. Tiltay Shiyodeh B'mayim Tzaynin V'tik Tefena V'titztanin. She should pat some water and put it onto the dough to keep it from becoming chametz. Continues the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan. So the Gemara now will describe for us this conveyor belt. Lasha, this was the first Isha that initiated the kneading process. She's the Lasha. She's done the Lisha, she proceeds, and she is Mekatef, her dough. The Chaverta Lasha, then her friend begins the Lisha. Chaverta Lasha Tachteh, and her friend begins her Lisha in her place. She takes her place, she proceeds, and begins the process. Mika tefes, hi oifa. Now, when Isha number one, who was just now busy being makatef, phase two, when she arrives at phase three, mika tefes, hi oifa, She goes ahead and she bakes. V'chaverta mekatev esachter, and her friend, isha number two, now proceeds and is mekatev in her place, which was phase two of the process. Now the third one begins to work. V'ashlish eslasha. Now the third one begins to knead. So everybody's busy, and you have an effective, efficient system. Now once the first isha completes her baking, she goes back to do another batch. Oifa, the first isha who is already baking, when she's done, hilasha, she begins to knead another batch. V'chaverta oifa nachtea. And the next isha proceeds to do afia in her place. V'ashlish is mekatefes. And the third isha proceeds to do kita v'chaytus chalila, and they go around in circles. And the rule is, kozman she'oiskes v'batzik, as long as the isha, as long as these women are engaged and occupied with their batzik, they keep it busy and active, ain't a bole de chimutz, it won't come to chimutz. Rabbi Kiva Omer, loikal anosh, v'chu, tani, Omer Rabbi Kiva, danti lefnei Rabban Gamliel. I presented my challenge to Rabban Gamliel. You say, well, you could take three nashim, set them up together as one, they begin doing their lisha, although they have to wait for each other when it comes to the baking stage. Ilam Dein Rabbein, our Rebbe teach us. What are we speaking about? Benashim Zrizois or Benashim She'en Zrizois? Diligent women or not diligent women? Beitim Lach or Beitim Yveshim? Moist firewood or dry firewood, which is effective? Betan Rocham or Betan Tzonin? A hot oven or a cold oven? How can you establish rules? There's so many different scenarios, so many different waiting times. Omar Lisa, he responded to me, Ein Lecha Elo Mashamanu Shashanu Chacham. You have to follow what the Chacham said. Ein Lecha, you only have Elo Mashashanu Chacham. They made a rule, follow the rule. Apparently they took into consideration various scenarios. Perhaps they worked with the average. In any case, they weren't concerned. When it's three Nashim, they're not concerned that it's going to bring Lechimus. Zaklal, and in fact, this is the rule of thumb, that should an isha begin to experience chimutz, tafach tiltash b'tzainin. If she sees that the dough has begun to bloat, then dab it with cold water. So perhaps this is part of his response that, at worst case, you can go ahead and address the chimutz by dabbing it with cold water. So he took that into account as well. Continues the Gemara. Siur yisarif. We know this chametz and si'or. Chametz is standard. Chametz si'or is something which is used to as a leavening agent, it's sourdough. Both those are chayiv karis for one that eats. Now we're going to learn about undeveloped chametz called siur or siur. Something undeveloped. Since it's not properly developed chametz, if a person eats it, there's no karis, it's only a lav. Now what exactly is siur? So we're meant to know, the Gemara will explain, there are three phases, three steps in the chimutz development. Step number one is hechsifa panav. The surface of the dough has whitened, has paled. Step number two, it has begun to experience and exhibit and express cracks, kikane chagavim, like the antennas of a locust. So we have some cracks, but they're limited, under control. Then you have where the whole surface is filled with cracks, interlacing cracks. Shinis arvu stokin zebaze. So three phases. Phase number three, nis arvu stokin, filled with cracks, all agrees, perfect chametz. This curse upon eating it. Regarding phase one, that paling stage, and phase two, where it's begun to show cracking signs, what is that? Amachlekes, according to Rabbi Meir, phase number one, hechsifu panav, is considered siur. Person eats it, gets malchus. Phase number two is already too far gone. Even some cracks are a reflection of true chametz. Person eats it, gets curse. Kotcha b'Yehuda. Phase number one, hechsifu panav, that paling look, is nothing. It's matzah. Siur begins at phase two. So once you have karnei chagavim, those grasshopper antennas, those cracks, sparsely distributed, not interlacing, then that's called siur, partially developed chametz. The person eats it, it gets in love. But again, all agree that phase three is already full-fledged chametz. You have those interlacing cracks. The entire surface is full of cracks. All agree this chametz, and this carries upon eating it. Says the Mishnah, Siur Yisarev. This partially developed chametz needs to be burnt. V'oichle potter. Person eats it, it's potter from karas. It's a law, but no karas. As we discussed earlier in the perek, from Gimel, according to Rameh, there's a law. Because he holds that even something which is not complete chametz, chametz nuksha, has a law. But in any case, potter from karas, all agree. Siduk. That's describing the dough that has the cracks. It's been cracked. Yisarev. And to be burnt. V'oichle chayev karas. This karas upon eating it. So seer is undeveloped, which generates a lav. No karas. Siduk is full-fledged chametz, which gets karas. Now what is seer? Ezir seer. Kikarni chagav. This is Rabbi Yudhishita. Seer is phase two. Once you have some cracks. Siduk, which is referring to the full-fledged chametz. What is that? Phase three. Shenis arvus dok etzabaza. Divir Rabbi Yudhishita. V'chachamim ayrim, this is Shitas Rami, as we want to see in the Gemara, Rami holds, no. Zeh v'zeh, phase 2 and phase 3 in both cases, that's true chametz. Once you have some cracks, it's full chametz. Ha'ich l'chayv karas. V'ezeh v'seer, what's the undeveloped chametz, which is termed as seer? That's the first phase. Kol sheikh sifu panav. Once the dough's surface, that's paled, k'adam sh'amdu saroysav. Like the face of a person whose hair has stood up out of fright. So this whitening, paling effect is indicative of the initiation of the chametz process. It's called seer. So again, phase one is the paling process, hechsifu panav. Phase two is the karni chagavim, somewhat cracked. Phase three is full of cracks. All agree. Phase three is full chametz, karas. According to Rameir, phase 1 is seer, partial chametz, which generates a lav. Phase 2, when it's already partially cracked, that's full-fledged chametz as well. Just like phase 3. Kotchabhida, phase 1 is nothing. Pale, that's nothing. Some cracks, that's seer, that's partial chametz. But all agree that phase 3, full of cracks, is full chametz. Tana Rabbana. Ezeu seer. What is, how do you describe seer? Phase 1, kol sheikh sifa panav. What is siduk, which is considered to be full-fledged chametz? Phase 2 is already considered siduk and chametz. Divir amir. V'chachamim ayim, that's Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Eze was seer, what's considered to be partially developed chametz? Seer, kigarni chagavim. That's phase 2. You have some cracks. What's called siduk, which the Mishnah says is chayiv karas, that's considered to be full-fledged chametz, that's phase 3. Shenis arvu stokin zebezeh. Continues the Braisa. V'zeh v'zeh ha'ich l'chayv karas. Both of these, phase 2 and phase 3, a person eats it, it's chayv karas. What do you mean? Well, not now, we just learned in the Mishnah. Siur yisaref. V'ich l'potter. A person eats sira, he's potter from karas. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara, Ema, explain it like this. And the Braisa says that both of these stages, stage 2 and stage 3, equal karas. That's according to Rabbi Meir. Ema, the Rabbi Meir, zeh v'zeh ha'ich l'chayv karas. Yeah, according to Rabbi Meir, phase 2 is already full-fledged chametz. You're right, according to Rabbi Yehuda, phase 2, some cracks, kind of chagav, that's not chametz, that's seer, you only get malchus. According to Rabbi Meir, that's the ending of the braisa. According to Rabbi Meir, zeh v'zeh ha'ich l'chayv karas. He holds that even phase 2 is already considered chametz. So phase 2 and phase 3 are equal and the same. And there's a chiv karas. Omarav, my time to Rabbi Meir. What's Rabbi Meir's reason? If it only has some cracks, why would you consider that to be chametz? It's not yet fully developed. The answer is, Ein lecha kol sedek v'sedek melamal. You won't find a crack on top. She'ein loy kamas dokim melamata. It doesn't have beneath it. Beneath the surface, several cracks. So what you can see on top is only part of the story. It represents many, many more cracks underneath it. Therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, he considers that to be full-fledged chametz. So, conclusion, the Mishnah tells us that seer generates only malchus. According to Rabbi Meir's shita, that you get malchus on chametz nuksha. In any case, there's no karas, according to all shitas. And true chametz gets karas. We have three stages. Phase 1 is a chsif of panav, surface of that dough has turned pale and white. We have kainich agavim. It exhibits some cracking signs, like the antenna of a horn of a locust. And we have the final sign, which is this avrastakan zebazeh. The cracks have mixed with each other. So it's full of cracks. Now, according to Rav Meir, phase 1 is seor. Phase 2 and 3 is true chametz. According to Rav Yehuda, phase 1 is not anything. It's matzah. Phase 2 is seor. And only phase 3 considered chametz. Okay, let's make a quick review of today's daf. Went back to the Mishnah, describing a case where a person was mafresh challah from an isa which is tummy. How's meant to do that on Yom Tov of Pesach without any concern that the challah portion will become chametz? So we have machlokes, Rav Lezer, Rav Rishu. Actually, I have another sheet of Rav Meseira. Let's discuss Rav Lezer and Rishu. Rav Lezer says, "Go be mafresh the challah after you bake the whole thing. Why? Because the chelik challah is really somewhat yours because you have teves anah from it. It's mamay. So don't let it become chametz. Bake the batch. Even though there's some challah, which is going to be an edible in there. But we say hayil. As Rashi explained, you can slice a piece off of every loaf and give it to the kohen. So every loaf technically is mutar b'achil. According to Rishua, separate it when it's in isa, when it's in dough form. Don't worry about chametz. Teves anah is not mamay. It's not yours. And likewise, he doesn't allow baking the batch, because he doesn't hold on this hoil concept. As Rashi says, chances are you're going to give away a whole loaf. So one of these loaves is going to be usur. You can't go and bake them all. We learned about the maximum size allowance for a dough on Pesach. And we learned about the size of a isa for a chiv challah. We learned about being mitzaref, some loaves together for reaching the sheer requirement of chiv challah. We have three shittas. According to Rabbi Lezer, it's the basket. According to Meshua, the oven. And according to Shita of Rav Shimon Malil, they have to actually connect, bite from each other. What about the halacha lemaisa regarding the afreshes challah b'tumah? So you have one Shita that says halacha Rabbi Lezer, and one Shita that says halacha Rabbi Meseir, who holds that separated as dough, but then put into cold water to prevent from chibetz. We went to the Mishnah that what about if there is a sheared oven. How do you go about using that oven? You have three shittas. According to Rav Gamaliel, three nashim, but not more. Three nashim can go ahead and engage in the baking process at once, even though there's some waiting time. We're not concerned about chimetz. According to the shita of Rabbi Akiva, of Rav Chachamim, no, you can't do that. They have to all engage in their dough constantly. You have to create some sort of efficient system, a rotating system, in which case everybody's busy with their dough without leaving it unattended at all. Rabbi Akiva maintains, no, how can you go ahead and set formulas? He disagrees with Malil. And the Mishnah concludes that if in any case you see some chimus developing, just douse it with cold water to prevent the chimus. We learned about chametz and seor, which generate curries upon eating them. We have seor, which is undeveloped chametz, which only has a lav. We have three stages, pale, kind of chagavim, this iris dukkan. Ramea says, hechsiv upanav is seer, everything else is chametz. Ramea says, hechsiv upanav is not, in any case, seer. Ramea maintains, hechsiv upanav is no concern, kind of chagavim, that's called seer, this iris dukkan. All agree, that's considered to be full-fledged chametz. Be well, hatzlacha rabba.